chapter 3, and it shows the miracles of God. There was a man who had nothing, he needed something, and he got everything. And so we'll just read the story. The first, Peter and John, about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And I want to direct your attention to that one phrase, they were filled with wonder and amazement. That's what God does for us. God is not, we're here today not for a religious purpose, but we're here today to experience God. So again, let's pray and ask his blessing. Father, thank you so much for this story. Thank you for your word. We ask that you would bless us today, give liberty, give power, give wisdom to the word, and may every heart receive it with joy, Lord. Bless now as we exalt you in Jesus' name. Amen. Miracles are great. I want to read this. Webster said about wonder, it's the emotion which is excited by novelty or the presentation to the sight of mind or mind of something new, unusual, strange, great, extraordinary, something that arrests the attention. I don't know if you've ever read about the seven wonders of the world, the Colossus at Rhodes, the Hanging Gardens at Babylon, and what's another one, the Great Pyramid, and they call those wonders because people stand in awe of them. But we're talking about something better than that. We're talking about God and the work that he does in our hearts. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 20, God said this, "I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders." He makes it plural. And if you remember, he said, "And after those wonders, they will let my people go." And there were 10 plagues in the land of Egypt. And every plague, Pharaoh said, okay, but then he hardened his heart. But after the 10th one, he let Israel go. And that was a wonder which God did. And sometimes even lost people can see those wonders, but they don't respond to them. They fight against them. There's a verse in the book of James that said the devils believe and tremble. And so the devils believe in God, but they don't respond to anything. There's a song that says the wonder of it all. And it's one verse goes like this. There's the wonder of sunset at evening, the wonder of sunrise I see. And everybody wonders at that. But the second part of that verse is for the Christian. But the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that God loves me. And the Bible says they were filled with wonder. Filled with God is what it's talking about. Not just seeing what he does, but experiencing who he is. That's an inward blessing. I told a young preacher recently, I was ministering to him and telling him how to prepare sermons, and I said, preach from the overflow. Somebody told me that years ago too. And so we gather all this emotion, we gather this wonder, this amazement from God, and then we present that to people. And hopefully some of that rubs off. David said, "My cup runneth over," and that's because he had a full cup, and it just spilled out on other people. So I trust that that will take place today. In Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. And what does that mean? It means love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. All of those things become part of our life. At least they're in us, and God does something with that. That's why David, when he had sinned against God and he was getting ready, said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." We find in Acts chapter 13 and verse 52, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. So that's Christ in you, the Spirit in you, the Word of God in you. It produces something. Amen? If it falls on a good heart, a tender heart, then that word grows some fruit, and the fruit of the Spirit that we just mentioned. In Psalm 16 and verse 11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life, In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. There's another verse in the Psalms that says, he daily loads us with benefits. And these benefits and these blessings spill out of us, amen? But they cause a wonder and amazement in us that God loves even us, what we sang about in the chorus. In Ephesians 3:19, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. See, there's an earthly knowledge and an earthly wisdom, but what God does for us so far exceeds that. And that's where the Christian should live, because that's a wonderful testimony. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. It passes knowledge. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Same principle. The peace of God passes understanding. I was preaching up in Toronto, Canada one time, and I preached in the morning service, and there was a young lady there, and I preached on the peace of God, and that you could know that peace. And she accepted Christ in the morning. And she said, boy, that's a blessing. That's what I came to church for. And that Sunday night, she brought her husband back with her, and he received Christ as his Savior. And still serving the Lord to this day, as far as I know. But what a blessing, amen? And you know, people come to church and they hear the Bible and it just doesn't resonate. It just doesn't go to their heart. But God is always trying to reach the heart, because when the Word of God reaches the heart and that heart is receptive, it produces fruit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all of those fruit. So it's not just some idea or some do this and you'll get this. But it has to be a reception of the Lord, and we'll see that as we go through the message. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 2, the Bible says, and though I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Something was missing from that equation. I can do this, I know this, I can be like this, but without charity, without love, we are nothing. Amen? And it's the same thing when we talk about the wonder of it all. It's something that's so important. So I want to speak to you today about a sense of wonder. When we open our Bibles, when we see God work in our lives, when this happens to another believer and we see the hand of God somewhere, that produces that amazement in our own hearts. Psalm 119:129, thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. You always, when you come to a therefore in the Bible, find out what it's there for. And so here's what it says. Thy testimonies are wonderful. Because the Word of God is wonderful to you, therefore doth my soul keep them. I want to obey the Word. We have Psalm 107, verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. We ought to be praising the Lord. Amen. There's a lot to praise God for. And so you have obedience and praise. 1 Peter 2:7, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, whom having not seen ye love. And right now ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, because there's that filling. That's a blessing. Salvation is a work of God, and all we have to do is receive it. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And I like the verse that it says, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. When we receive the Lord as our Savior, we are new creations in Christ. The Bible calls us new creatures. Remember back in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved on the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Well, we are walking in darkness until we meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the light of the world. Amen? And by his light that he shines in our hearts, then our heart opens up to receive him as our Savior. And then our life is different. And then here comes all the fruit and all the blessings of life. That is an amazing thing. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. A new heart, a new nature. I think Peter said we are partakers of the divine nature. That's pretty powerful. Amen. Now, when you look at who God is, the creator of life, the sustainer of life, the terminator of life, everything, he died for us. He gave himself for us that we might be saved and have a home in heaven. That is absolutely amazing. I had a friend of mine, preacher friend of mine, and he said, nothing to get excited about. It's only heaven. You know, just nothing to get excited about. But when we know Jesus as our Savior, that is something to get excited about. Amen? And we know that from his word, and we know that from how he works in our hearts. It's God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And some people have no concept of God working in their life. They've never seen that. But as a believer in Christ, unto you which believe, he is precious. Amen? And that's the wonder of it all. And all the songs that talk about that. Just such a blessing to know that. In Joshua chapter 3 and verse 7, God says to Joshua, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. What does he mean, I will be with thee? Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That is a wonderful promise. Amen. And we are filled with the Spirit, and we are filled with the Word of God. Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And if he's not close to you today, he's not the one that moved. It's us that have moved away from him or not towards him, because he wants to bless our life. Revelation chapter 2, there's a story there of the church of Ephesus. That was a good church. They were straight doctrinally. They had the service for the Lord down. But the Lord said to them, I have somewhat against thee. You have left your first love. And that goes back to 1 Corinthians 13. I can do this, 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 and this, but we've left our first love. When you love the Lord, boy, it's a wonder. Amen? It's an amazement. It's a great life if that is true in your case. But they had no heart. Luke chapter 15, we preached on this last week. Why did the prodigal son leave the father's house? Well, he wanted the world. We showed that. He didn't want the righteousness of his father in his life. He didn't want the rules. And he had a very critical elder brother. So he just hit the road. And he left his home. He left the Lord. Acts chapter 13, John Mark. John Mark was a young man, and he went on a missionary journey with the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. But it was a rough trip. We've been to Romania. We've been to the Ukraine. We've been to Moldova. We've done work over there. Scary times. We started going back in 1990 and 91, and then we really ramped it up after that when they opened all the borders. But there were scary things there. And if you read the story about John Mark going with Paul and Barnabas, there was a rough time there. And the Bible says that John Mark quit and went back home because he couldn't pay the sacrifice, make the sacrifice, and he was very fearful. Jacob left his family. Remember the story of Jacob and how he deceived his father, and he tricked him into giving him the birthright, the blessing of the birthright. And then his brother Esau wanted to kill him, and so he ran away from home. He was a mess. Jacob, if you study him in the Bible, he was a supplanter. He was a deceiver. He was a conniver. But his life changed. And so we're going to show that. If you're a Christian, your life has changed. Amen? You want to serve the Lord. You want to honor the Lord. One day this will all be over. And we don't want to get into prophecy, but one day it'll all be over. And Christians are going to be with the Lord forever. Amen? That's going to be a wonderful thing. See, there's that word again. The prodigal son came to himself. And by coming to himself, he came home to the father's house. He said, boy, there's bread enough to eat at my father's house. I'm going home. And I'm going to tell my father, just make me as one of thy hired servants. He rehearsed his prayer in his mind. But before he could say anything, the father ran out to meet him when he was a great way off. And he was thrilled that his son was home. And they had a big party. Amen? That was a blessing. And then you have John Mark. He was mentored by Barnabas. And later in his ministry, Paul said, bring John Mark. He's profitable to me for the ministry. So he came back to the Lord. Then you have Jacob again. And the Lord told Jacob to get back to Bethel. Bethel, house, Beth, El, God, the house of God. But when he came back, he changed it to El Bethel. It was the God of the house of God. And that's the thing. We're in church today, but where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. The Lord is here. And some people may feel him and some people may not feel him. The word may be precious to some and not precious to others. But that all has to do with the inward man. Amen? It's good to have visitors, and I usually preach till about 3 o'clock. But I'm not going to preach that long today. But anyway, but the Word of God, and you go through the Scriptures, and I told this story before, but I was in Northern Ireland preaching one time, and a guy got up to preach before me. And all he did was read Psalm 119, 170-some verses. He didn't comment on it. He just read Psalm 119. And I thought, well, that's a little unusual. But the longer he got through it, the more precious it became. Every verse in Psalm 119 is about the word or the commandment or the precept or the law. And when you get through that many verses, it was really God blessing the service. Amen? And that's what we trust the Lord will do today. Jacob, he went back, but the Lord met him, remembering that he wrestled with the Lord. And if you remember the story in Genesis chapter 27, his brother was out killing meat to get the blessing, Esau was. And Jacob went into his father, and he disguised himself. His father couldn't see. He was blind. And so Jacob put on hair on his arms because Esau was a hairy man. And he went in, and his father said, "What is your name? Are you my son Esau?" And Jacob said, "Yes, I'm Esau." So in Genesis chapter 32, when Jacob is getting right with the Lord, the Lord says, "What is your name?" And he said, "My name is Jacob." And then God blessed him because he faced his sin. Have we lost our sense of wonder for the Lord? You know, you read through the Bible and people were so involved, so in love with the Lord, so full of praise for God and love for one another because of God. But if we lost our sense of wonder, in Jeremiah chapter 18, there's a story of the potter's house. And it's really about the nation of Israel. And the Bible says that the potter, there was a vessel, and he marred it in the hands of the potter to make it again. He chose to make it again, and that's what he was doing with the nation of Israel. And God can make something out of anybody's life at any stage of life, no matter what the circumstances are. When you get God in it, it changes a person. And that's God doing something for them. God, I call him the God of the second chance, sometimes third chance. You remember the day, the hour, or the minute you received Christ as your Savior? Go back to that in your mind. And never lose sight of that. We're supposed to remember that day and muse on that day because that's where our hearts will burn. Not the day we went to church, not the day we were confirmed, not the day we got baptized, not the day we received Jesus as our Savior. Think of what took place in that day. God created a new creature in us. Amen. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Word of God now means something to you. It's just such a blessing. John 6:37. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." I like the verse in Romans where it says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That means anybody. Amen? Whosoever. At any time in your life that can take place. Something happens to a person that happens to. Your heart is no longer in the service of the Lord. When you get away from the Lord, sometimes it's just not desirable to do. It becomes a form. It becomes a duty. There's a book written by who wrote Pilgrim's Progress? John Bunyan. And anyway, Pilgrim is on his journey to the heavenly city, and it's an allegory. But he comes across a place called Vanity Fair, and it's all about the things of the world, and he is advised, don't even go there because it will take your heart. That's what happened to Solomon. But sometimes our hearts are no longer in the service. We do what we have to do because it's right to do. Maybe the world has taken you away from the Father, as the prodigal was taken away from his father's house. Pleasures of sin for a season. The sacrifice sometimes is too much, like John Mark, and we don't choose to make that sacrifice for the Lord. David was offered an altar and the offering for the altar to get right with the Lord. And he said, "Shall I give unto the Lord of that which costs me nothing?" And we ought to be able to make a sacrifice for the Lord, but present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, Paul said. In James chapter 2, verse 26, the Bible says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." But there is a way back. There's always a way back. I was raised in a Lutheran church, and as soon as I got old enough not to go, I stopped going. I was not even just barely a teenager. I went through confirmation, did all that. We had to go on Saturdays when school was out. And I had better things to do on Saturday when school was out. But we would go for confirmation class from 9 in the morning till 12 in the afternoon. And when we graduated, when we were confirmed, I still have the Bible and all that, but I just didn't want to be there. And some of the kids in there, too, didn't want to be there. But later on, my father left, and my mother remarried, and my stepfather was Catholic. This is a number of years later, and I thought, well, I'll try the Catholic Church. And I went to the Catholic Church, and they did it back in my day. They did the service in Latin. And I didn't understand what they were saying, but I was in church, you know. But I didn't like that too much either. Then I met my wife. I'm 21 years old, just turned 21, and I met my wife. And she is such a blessing. You can tell her I said all of this after the service. Amen. Say, boy, he really loves you. And we've been married now 54 years. And that's a blessing. Amen. But my wife and I remember she accepted Christ as her Savior, and she was a different person. We rode motorcycles. We sold drugs. Didn't you know that? Did you know that? Okay. And my wife came home from church one day, and she told me that she had accepted Christ as her Savior. And I thought, wow, what is that? What is that all about? And I didn't want to go to church at all. I was done with church. And she started going every Sunday. That was a blessing. And pretty soon, I think it was 2 months that I went to church with her. And I got so mad at her. I was really, really mad at her. And I was mad at the preacher, because she told him everything I was and did. I know it. And so I wouldn't go back to church. She said, "You told him everything. I don't want to go." But I was really convicted. And it was a number of months after that, she was faithful, and I finally went with her, and that's when God spoke to my heart, and I opened it to Christ, and I was saved. No regrets. Amen? But being saved is different than being religious. Accepting Christ is different than keeping the law. And we live to please him now. We love him, and we serve him. And praise God for that testimony that she had. But he saves us. That's a wonder of wonders. And I won't go into any more about that. But in Luke chapter 24 and verse 5, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" John 6:68, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." And all the verses like that. And people are going through this world and they're trying to find something to stand on, some foundation. Well, no other foundation can be laid than it is laid, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's who we want to build our life on. The wise man built his life on the rock. That's Christ. And when the storms came, he was on the rock and stood firm. But the foolish man builds his life on the sand. And the winds of time and the storms of life can take away that foundation. There's something to this, because there's someone to this. Remember the story in John chapter 4 about the the woman that went out to get water, she was John chapter 4. She went to get water, and Jesus came to her and said, would you like living water? Because she was drawing water, physical water. And he said, would you like living water? And he says, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, thou could have living water, you would have asked that of me. And finally, she understood that, and she accepted Christ as her Savior. But the Bible says he must needs go through Samaria. He knew there was going to be a meeting with that woman. And God does that. If you're here in church today, it's because God wants you to hear the message. Amen? It's amazing the things God works out so that his word can come. And so she thought that to worship, she wasn't of the same persuasion as Jesus was or the disciples. And she thought that they could worship in the mountain that she was worshiping in. And Jesus said, no, and it's not Jerusalem either. The day is going to come when it's not the place, it's the person. And so many people can come to this church. I don't like this church. They do more with this church. I'm going to do this church. Somebody said something I didn't like, or somebody, their food isn't good. The food's good here, amen. But you have all these different ideas. It's not the place. It's not the place. It's the person. And you can find Jesus in a lot of places, amen. But it's not the place. It's the person. And so if you're here today and you're looking for something from God, God's giving you something, amen, if you just receive it. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of man, even to them that believe on his name. All you have to do is receive it. What a blessing. But it says he must needs go through Samaria. He had a meeting with somebody. We think about the thief on the cross, and Jesus took the time to say, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. What a statement. If you know anything about the cross, he's hanging on a cross. And the reason they broke their legs when they wanted them to die is because they couldn't push themselves up to get any air. The bones would be broken in the legs. So this was before, and they did not break Jesus' legs. They put the spear in his side, because the prophecy in Psalms was, not a bone of him shall be broken. But anyway, he's there. And to make that statement, today thou shalt be with me in paradise, he had to push up on the nails that were in his hands and in his feet and take that breath to give that word. But he did, and he was there for a purpose. Jesus went to the cross to die for you, but he also went to die for that thief on the cross. And then there was one more that I wanted to talk about. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus is on a journey, and as he's going, the crowds are following him, and they're on the sides of the path and praising him. And there was a man, blind Bartimaeus, and when he knew that Jesus was coming by, he hollered out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowd, some of the men in the crowd said, be quiet. He didn't want to talk to you. You're just an old blind beggar. And so he cried out the louder, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And the Bible says this, Jesus stood still. And then he called Bartimaeus unto him. And the Bible says that he left his rags and he got clothed in righteousness that day. And Jesus is always waiting to meet the need of somebody. Amen? As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. He's here. The song says, he is here, hallelujah, he is here, praise his name. He is here, listen to him. You will never be the same. I have stumbled and fumbled through this message for some reason, but the truth is still there. Amen? Jesus is wonderful. That's what he calls his name back in the book of Isaiah. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. He's a wonderful Savior, but you can only know that when you receive him. You can only know that when you can experience him. It's not out here, it's in here. Amen? With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's the name of Jesus. And he is so concerned about every one of us. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? I have a little sheet of songs here, and I just there's your songbook is filled with some of these. Here's a song, Wonderful Peace. We sing it, and it's true. These things are true. Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rolls a melody sweeter than song. In celestial-like strains, it unceasingly falls o'er my soul like an infinite calm. What a treasure I have in this wonderful peace, buried deep in the heart of my soul, so secure that no power can mine it away while the years of eternity roll. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. That's a good song. Amen. There's two types of wisdom in James chapter 3. The wisdom that's from above, it's first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, without partiality, without hypocrisy. It's sown in peace of them that make peace. But the wisdom that's from below is earthly, sensual, devilish. The Bible is the wisdom of God. Amen. And so we sing about that. And it's peace of God. It's such a wonderful. Here's another one. It's entitled Wonderful Words of Life. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free, oh, the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. It does. Amen. If the ground is stony, if the ground is off the path, if the ground is hard, the word doesn't come in. The birds of the air take it. The sun burns it up. The seed doesn't bring forth any fruit. But when the heart is right, boy, the word can have such a wonderful effect on your life. It's a blessing. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. God loves you. Amen. That's why Jesus died on a cross. One of the most familiar verses in the world, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is not an archaic book. This is not a book that's out of touch. This is the answer. Amen. It's the word of God. He's a precious Savior, is he not? Amen. It's wonderful. It's just wonderful. Go home today and enjoy the Lord. Remember his word. Let him speak. Love him. He'll love you. It's wonderful. And if you're away from him today, he's looking for you to come back. That's wonderful too. They had a wonderful party. And if you've never received Christ as your Savior, I know what you feel, because I was a young man and I didn't have Christ as my Savior. I didn't want religion. I didn't want anything to do with it. Some people do, but it's not religion. And I remember the day that I got saved. It was night and day. Amen? Because it was from darkness to light. God did that for me. But I know if you're here today and you're not a Christian, if you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, the heart is not there. But if you give your heart to the Lord, this is what he said, my son, give me thine heart, and I'll give you a new heart. He promises salvation to all that will ask him. Let's bow our heads just for a moment, please. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus as your Savior, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's all you have to do. We're all sinners. That's why he died for us. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. If you'll just admit that you're a sinner to the Lord. I have a little prayer that I usually help people with, and it's not something you have to say word for word, but it's your heart. And so, heads bowed and eyes closed, just say this prayer to the Lord if you want him to forgive your sins and give you a home in heaven. You don't have to say it out loud. He'll hear the prayer of your heart. Dear Jesus, I am a sinner. I don't know, I don't understand that love that passes understanding or the peace that passes understanding. But I want it. I want my sins forgiven. I want to have a home in heaven. And I believe, Jesus, that you're the Son of God and that you died for me. Please save me. please give me a home in heaven. And I ask that in Jesus' precious name. Amen.